Welcome everyone to episode 4 of Buzz IT Talk, the podcast where we talk buzzwords and the latest trends within the tech industry with the goal of helping businesses and decision makers go beyond the buzz. This is your host, David Weaver. I recently sat down with Dr. Ulrich Dorndorf to discuss the topics of operations research, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. In this episode, we look at some general definitions for these technologies and how we are interacting with them on a daily basis. We dive into several practical examples of how businesses can benefit from their successful implementation, as well as the changing role of humans within some industries. While predicting the future in the tech space is often a shot in the dark, we nevertheless discussed how these technologies may further impact our lives and businesses in the coming years. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Ulrich Dorndorf. Okay, in this episode, I have Dr. Ulrich Dorndorf here with me, and we are going to be discussing a few buzzwords that are filling news headlines on a daily basis. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, and perhaps a somewhat less known term, but equally as important, operations research. Ulrich is the Chief Technical Officer for Inform Software and is a member of the Executive Board for the Operations Research Association based in Germany. In these roles, it's safe to say that Ulrich is actively involved with the aforementioned buzzwords on a daily basis, and I look forward to our upcoming conversation. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ulrich Dorndorf.
Hello, David.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. I appreciate it. And I would like actually to hand the mic over to you straight away so you can introduce yourself and maybe tell us a little bit about your journey to your involvement in the artificial intelligence, machine learning, and operations research space. So a little background, and maybe end it with the most interesting or some intriguing headlines you've come across on these topics in the past week or two.
My journey really started towards the end of my studies when I was interested in optimization and looking at a data analysis task, finding clusters, homogeneous groups of objects in data. And we were originally tackling these tasks with optimization techniques. And on the way, we found out that by combining these with classical AI techniques, really the combination of the two approaches worked much better than the individual optimization or the individual AI approach on its own. And this is an area I've been following ever since through my professional life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good lead to the second part of the question as to keeping up on the latest trends. What are some of the more intriguing or interesting headlines you've seen in this space in recent weeks?
I'd say there are two classes of headlines. One class is that AI is taking over and that machine learning is everywhere. And then there are the individual headlines, announcements such as Google Flights, for instance, announcing that they'll be using AI to predict flight delays. The little mishaps in the AI and machine learning world, situations where autonomous driving systems failed because they were confronted with a situation for which apparently they hadn't been trained. I guess these are the headlines that come to mind. The very big ones are a bit longer ago than the past 2 weeks. In the beginning of the year, a big news in machine learning was that Google's division DeepMind had come up with a follow-up version of the computer game software originally called AlphaGo, and the second version is now called AlphaZero. AlphaGo was the first computer Go program that could play the game of Go on a human level. Indeed, they made the big headlines by beating the Go world champion for the first time. And that was at the time, and the time was last year, considered a breakthrough in AI research. Now, in the beginning of this year, their new program approached learning how to play computer games in a different way. And the difference was that now they were entirely relying on a technique called reinforcement learning. Their new software did not only learn to play Go, but also chess within a single day. And the exciting part was that initially, I'll explain it for the chess program, did not know anything about chess except the very basic rules. It knew how the figures could move and what the end goal of the game was, but it did not know about opening strategies, about end game strategies, and about a lot of human expertise that was traditionally put into chess playing programs. By playing against a sibling of itself, the program, however, would very quickly, in over a huge number of iterations, learn what the good moves were and how it should proceed. This is why the technique is called reinforcement learning. So in the area, it's been considered a very remarkable development that within basically no time at all, a reinforcement learning program could learn to play chess to the level where it could beat what was considered the previously best chess playing program. I'd say in the AI world, this is the headline of the year for me so far.
Okay. I would like to continue, because you already mentioned some terms there, standalone AI and things like that. I would like to continue with some definitions and practical examples for the audience about artificial intelligence, for example. What is it? How would you define it? And where are people interacting with it in their everyday lives?
Well, if you are asking for a very general definition, AI is the automation of things that we traditionally associate with human thinking and human intelligence, such as decision making, problem solving, learning. AI has been around for a long time, for over 50 years, and it's been going through waves of public perception and waves of what's been called AI winters. I think we are currently seeing a strong AI summer, and that's fueled by the appearance of AI in our everyday lives. Right. We've all gotten used to things such as smartphones that understand when we our voices, that understand what we ask them to do, about smart home devices that can flick on the light or place orders in an online shop. We've been using AI in areas such as email spam filters, probably without thinking about this is AI behind it. For a long time, we're seeing autonomous driving systems, which are based on classic AI techniques. So there's really a variety of areas where AI has entered our daily lives. And I think this is part of the reason why AI is currently such a big topic in the public perception.
Okay. And often another word that we hear thrown into the mix when we're talking about AI is machine learning. So I have the same question for machine learning, but with the addition to its relation or some differences to artificial intelligence. So what is machine learning? What are some practical examples and how is it intertwined with AI?
Machine learning is one of the many areas in the broad field of AI. Machine learning comes under many different names. Machine learning is not only studied in the field of AI. If you are a statistician, you would probably prefer to call it statistical learning, because it really is about applying statistical techniques for discovering correlations in data and for deriving new insights based on the data that you have. Machine learning is also seeing a boom, and that is, of course, based on the fact that data has become so available in such huge amounts. People have been collecting data for a long time, and that leads naturally to the question what to do with it. So machine learning is one answer, how you can turn raw data into useful information.
Mm-hmm.
Machine learning in the past has been dealt with under names also such as data mining. Some people like to call it predictive analytics, mm-hmm. if they're from the analytics world. Others use broader terms such as data science or data engineering. But in the end, what it comes down to is making sense, drawing conclusions, learning useful correlations and informations from the huge amounts of data that we have collected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so machine learning has been around a very long time then, perhaps found under similar terms or synonyms. So it's been around for decades, and some scientists say that machine learning capabilities have already reached their limits. Is that true?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. No, I think what we see is that techniques that have been indeed around for decades have been refined, and by putting together many small building blocks, we're suddenly seeing how they begin to work on a huge scale. One example would maybe the area of artificial neural networks, which today is often called deep learning, because these mm-hmm. networks today are often used with very many layers, which makes them deep.
Okay.
And it's an area that's been indeed studied for decades, but really by putting together very many research results, mm-hmm. We've seen that it moved to a new level. As an example, deep learning is the technique that fuels image recognition systems today, and also voice and speech recognition systems. If you think of systems such as Google Translate, it is largely based on deep learning techniques.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so last but not least, operations research, our third and final buzzword. I mentioned in the beginning that it's a term that's not in as many headlines as artificial intelligence and machine learning, but maybe it's not even a buzzword at all, but it's certainly playing a key role in today's business operating environment. Can you provide a brief definition of operations research with some examples, and again, how it's related to artificial intelligence and machine learning?
Operations research is about making better decisions. Mm-hmm. Its roots are in economics and mathematics. Decision making also is an important area of AI. If you think of making a decision about the next draw in a chess game, that's something that is classically associated with artificial intelligence. Operations research is focusing on decision making in the business area. Mm-hmm. So it is focusing on situations where you can clearly state what the goals are that you are trying to achieve and what the restrictions are that you are looking for. If you look at the techniques that operations research and AI use to come up with suggestions for decisions, actually there are quite a lot of similarities, which is why the two fields can actually fuel each other.
Mm-hmm.
By combining AI problem-solving techniques and operations research search techniques for finding the best solutions, really solution times can very often be cut down dramatically. And it's something that we've been doing at Inform, for instance, when we organize airport processes.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we've been working on since the early zeros, a time when the combination of solution and search strategies in AI and OR was really taking off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
OR, in a way, if you think of the general definition of artificial intelligence in the public view would probably also termed AI, because it is about automating intelligent behavior that's traditionally associated with human thinking. Mm-hmm. Operations research systems come up with suggestions on how to organize things in logistical processes and production processes and supply chain management and inventory management. Making intelligent suggestions for doing things is something traditionally done by humans. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, operations research could be termed AI. It is just for historic reasons that the field of operations research developed in the area of economics and mathematics, and that the term operations research was chosen. Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence is a term that originated in the field of computer science. And mm-hmm. indeed, for some time, people were studying more or less the same issues in both areas. And sometimes it's taken a bit of time until they realized that by combining their ideas, they could benefit in a great way.
So then we're talking about complementary technologies in this case then.
Yes, they are complementary mm-hmm. in the sense that when you're looking for the best decisions, you can combine mathematical optimization techniques with AI techniques that help you rule out areas of the search space where you will not find anything better than what you already have at hand, mm-hmm. thus accelerating the solution process. And they can also be complementary in another way, and that would be that machine learning can help to provide improved data input for optimization models. Mm-hmm. In areas such as many business areas, logistics, production planning, supply chain management, when you can state optimization models, when you can state what it is that you're looking for, what makes up a good plan, and what the restrictions are, then if you can optimize, that is perfect. You can't do better than optimal. Machine learning will never be able to do better than optimal. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in these situations, the data that you feed into your optimization models is not perfect. Mm-hmm. And machine learning here can come to help by supplying improved input data for optimization models. So from my point of view, that's really one of the areas where the combination of machine learning and OR is bound to take off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've now mentioned some of the industries that can benefit from these technologies. We see headlines all the time, AI for HR, AI for marketing, AI taking the jobs of lawyers, AI for everything. How can companies truly benefit from utilizing these technologies? Some specific examples of perhaps where projects that you're working on in the AI and ML machine learning space.
I'll start with a classic AI application, one that probably many of our listeners will have used without knowing it, and that is fraud detection in credit card transactions and in online banking transactions. Mm-hmm. There are two complementary ways how you can try to catch fraud in these areas. One relies on an area of AI that is called knowledge-based and automated reasoning. In this area, we are capturing typical fraud patterns in the form of rules. And later on, when a transaction arrives, the rule base is checked, conclusions are drawn, and the transaction is classified either as okay or suspicious and due to be checked by a human. The knowledge-based approach can be combined with a machine learning approach where a machine learning software tries to automatically detect and learn new fraud patterns, fraud changes all the time, from the large amounts of data that get connected in these areas. So AI for classification and fraud detection is one big area. It's indeed an area that's been around for quite a while. What's new in the past years is that traditional knowledge-based approaches have been combined with machine learning approaches, giving the best of both worlds. There are other applications that go more into the direction that I mentioned earlier when I said that machine learning forecasts, insights, predictions can be fed into optimization models that help find better decisions. Examples here would be maybe that in airport and airline management, one can try to predict flight delays so that based on the probability of delays, the likelihood that a flight is not going to be on time, the planning of airport operations, all the things that need to be done for turning an aircraft around on the apron can be improved. Other examples from logistics would be that machine learning can help to predict better loading times, better travel times, better unloading times, and in many situations also better order volumes of your customers. Order volumes of customers are another area in supply chain and inventory management where you naturally need to know what future demand will be. That's an area where traditionally forecasts have been made by projecting the past demand pattern into the future. And what we are seeing now is that our customers are beginning to additionally take other explanatory variables into account. I'll give an example. In forecasting demands in the food industry, important influence factors would, for instance, be the day of the week, the time of the year, the question whether we are in a holiday week or not, if it's vacation season, if there is a promotion going on, how the price compares to your competitors' prices. And these are all things that naturally and logically for everyone influence demand. And these are not necessarily things that can be explained from past demand patterns. So really by combining past demand patterns plus the set of explanatory variables that I sketched, one can arrive at much better demand forecasts or predictions. So, and it's based on machine learning techniques, or if you like to call it that way, predictive analytics techniques.
Okay. We hear a lot about driverless semi-trucks, automated warehouse robots, and the like. These technologies, AI and machine learning, are often associated with the idea that the end of human work in many industries is upon us. Do you think this is the case, and how will these technological advancements impact humans in the working environment in the future?
I think the developments are mainly about developing better tools, and in the same way that the development of tools in the history of mankind has not made it unnecessary to have limbs, AI and machine learning developments will not make it unnecessary to have humans in the equation, in the workforce. It is really, I think, about developing improved tools. One also has to keep in mind that the AI applications that we see today are very much niche applications. They are very good in, for instance, speech recognition or image recognition, but that's all they can do. They may be excellent in playing chess, but they can't do anything else than play chess. And really, when it comes to how will it change the work life? We have to keep in mind that we will have tools that are excellent in one area where it will not make sense to try and compete with them. No one would think today that he could play chess better than the best chess programs. But where the suggestions the tools make in their niche area really help us to make better overall decisions. It'll improve the overall picture.
Okay.
So I'm not a friend of the dystopian views of how AI will change our lives. If you look at science fiction, for instance, you find that my impression is that science fiction about artificial intelligence tends to take a dystopian view. It is usually about the not so good consequences, and less about the utopian view, how it will make life easier. Of course, there's always a danger that, like any tool that's been invented for the good, it can be turned into the bad. But I think in the long run, the positive effects, they will outweigh the dangers and negative consequences.
Okay, so I guess that's a pretty clear answer for my next question, because Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk recently warned that AI might destroy humans in the near future if we don't take countermeasures. Are the AI-powered robots going to take over the world this century?
Not unless a giant breakthrough in AI happens. AI, as we currently see it, is very good at solving niche tasks. It's excellent at playing chess, but would you be afraid of your chess computer taking over the world? No, he can't go get some buns. He can't do the simplest other things. So maybe if we see a giant breakthrough and the development of something that you could call truly intelligent in the sense of a broad human intelligence, unless we see that, I don't think there is a danger of things taking over. And I don't see evidence for the development of that universal broad intelligence. In my point of view, that is more science fiction.
Yeah.
But then again, we're talking about future developments, and predicting the future of technology always is a very dangerous game.
Yeah.
who knows what's going to happen? In the end, it will remain important to also think about the ethical consequences. You can't divorce AI from the ethical consequences of applying that, even if you only apply it in niches. I'll give an example. There's been a research stream going on over the past 5 to 10 years where people have started analyzing the digital footprints that we all leave in social networks. And from these digital footprints, they first, from a scientific point of view, tried to answer the question if it was possible to derive psychological profiles from your digital footprints. And it turns out, yes, it is quite well possible. And then quite quickly, the idea has been commercialized, and people have been trying to use your psychological profiles for targeting advertisements, political campaign advertisements. And of course, the idea is to send you the information that you would like to hear. There, I think you're immediately in an area where you would want to think about the ethical consequences. It's not universal intelligence. It's a niche application, but it's a niche application that may have dramatic consequences. Indeed, there is a British PR company who's been applying these techniques, Cambridge Analytica, who claims to have influenced the US elections and who also claims that they were the ones who made the Brexit appear.
Okay, so we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that aspect of the technology, the ethical and moral aspects. Definitely something to keep an eye on. I would like to, even though you said predicting the future of technology is a difficult and questionable space, where will AI be in the next couple of years, along with machine learning? maybe more importantly, where should companies be focusing their attention in this space right now?
Well, it's a dangerous game, predicting the future of technology, but I'll give a few tries. I think the advances that we've seen in the area of voice and speech recognition, of image and video recognition, they will proceed at high speed, and they will change the way that we interact with our devices. We're beginning to see that. If you think of the intelligent light switch, which you ask Alexa, flick on the light, or go get me some whatever your desires are. So a change in the interaction with devices, that'll be one thing. I think machine learning techniques will help to master the huge amounts of data that we are collecting. And I think for many enterprises, that'll be an area where there is a lot of potential benefits. They started collecting data quite a while ago, and I often find that the data is basically still sitting there. And data collection speed will increase if you think of the Internet of Things, of Industry 4.0. Currently, enterprises tend to put their focus on the first steps, collecting the data. But what it should really be about is answering what can you do with the data, and how can you turn it into better business decisions. And that's where machine learning feeding into decision and optimization models comes into play. And that's where I think there is a huge potential for enterprises.
Great. Well, I would like to then wrap up the interview now. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and thank you for your insights. I think we probably could have talked another hour about these topics, but perhaps we have a follow-up episode in the coming months so we can look at some of the advancements with the technology. But thank you for being here.
Thank you, David.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to episode 4 of Buzz IT Talk with Dr. Ulrich Dorndorf. If you have any questions for Ulrich, feel free to comment on our episode page at buzzittalk.com or reach out on any of our social media platforms we have listed on the site. If you're interested in sharing your insights on one of the many tech buzzwords, feel free to contact me at buzzittalk@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in.